Chicago's very own Bob Surratt starts your day. WGN 640,
and let's say good morning to the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Happy day after the Super Bowl to you, Doc. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, I'm staying warm. At least we're going to have a heat wave today, right? Up to 14 or something?
Yeah, that's right. Enjoy it, because I think it may be, well, hey, 20 Thursday, so there is that. Let's talk a little bit about the vaccines. And, you know, I was wondering about Patrick Mahomes this morning and whether he's taking some painkillers because he got knocked around. And that reminded me of some questions we're getting asked around here a lot lately. And that is, if you are getting the vaccine, is it safe to take Tylenol or ibuprofen before or after the vaccine? A lot of people take one or both of those fairly regularly. What's the story on that?
Yeah, well, when you use the word safe, it certainly is safe to take those. They're not going to do any harm to you. What we're looking at, though, is we really want the immune response to kick in as much as possible. So we're really telling people, unless you take these for a chronic condition like arthritis or you have low back pain and you take it normally, hold off on the anti-inflammatories and the Tylenols until after you take your shot. You know, if the symptoms are so bad after the shot, go ahead and take them. But we know that the inflammation is part of the immune response, and we want to make sure that we get the maximum immune response from each of these vaccines.
Do you have any immunity at all after just the first shot?
Absolutely. You know, we've actually seen some very good responses with both Pfizer and Moderna after the first shot. You know, upwards of 60, even up to 70% in some cases. So, you know, getting the first shot is so important. Getting the second one boosts you from that 60 to 90, but certainly we're getting a good response, well above what the CDC had set for their minimum after a shot. So, yep. Very positive.
And most people report, if there are any side effects, it's after the second dose usually, isn't it?
Yeah, some people get, you know, side effects after the first dose, a little bit of fever, mild, you know, body aches, kind of feel a little bit wiped out. But certainly, and that's probably 10-15%, but then we certainly see that double, even maybe even go up a little bit more after the second shot, which is just showing that your immune response is working. So some people are reporting after the second shot 24 to 48 hours of, you know, body aches, and they just kind of feel wiped out and some low-grade fevers. But certainly not a reason not to get vaccinated. As a matter of fact, it's telling you that your immune response is working quite well.
You know, we're hearing about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that once it gets out into the market, you will only need a single dose. And then there was a report recently that people who have had COVID-19 may develop 10 times as many antibodies after a single vaccine dose, which could be a sign they only need one shot. What do we know about this?
Yeah, so both of those. One, you know, the Johnson & Johnson, certainly, you know, people saw the Moderna and Pfizer come up with effective rates in 92-95%, and they're saying, wait, why should I take the Johnson & Johnson at 72% in the United States? And we're telling people, hey, like I just said, you got to remember, the CDC was ready to take anything over 55% would have approved it. So it still is a very good vaccine. And people need to understand Johnson & Johnson is running a study, parallel study right now, with two shots. So they may come out with even more data that says, yeah, you know, you get a second Johnson & Johnson, you're going to get up to the 90%. But allowing it to be used at one time for 72% is great. Those individuals who have had COVID and are now essentially being exposed to the vaccine, certainly that's exactly what we would expect, that our immune system remembers, hey, I see something foreign, and now I'm going to make more antibodies for it. So it's one of those good news, but probably a little too late. We'll probably be able to use that in the future, but we're certainly not going to stop people who have had COVID in the past from getting two vaccinations.
There's some new research on the UK variant. How worried are you and your colleagues about these mutants? Because some reports say that it could become, at least the UK variant, could become predominant here by March if it behaves the way it did in Britain.
Yeah, so we expect that to happen. We expect the UK variant to be the variant here. So are we concerned? We're a little bit concerned. One is it's much more contagious, so we wish we were a little bit further down in the vaccination rate, but we certainly aren't, and we hopefully will be starting to creep up here. We're more concerned about the South African just because the vaccinations don't appear to be as effective for that variant. Where the UK, they still appear to be pretty effective and really maybe just knock it down a few percentage points. But certainly we're looking at, look at the slowing the spread that we've had. You know, we're down 30% in hospitalizations over the last 2 weeks, 25% in ICUs. So really we're seeing some great responses for the mitigation that we're having, and we certainly don't want to see those numbers start to bump back up.
And we're talking with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. And, Doc, the numbers in Illinois seem to be going in the right direction. The positivity rate, 3.4%, cases going down. And are you and your fellow doctors thinking that we may not be out of the woods yet? For example, perhaps there will be a spike after gatherings from the Super Bowl. What does it look like going forward?
Yeah, we obviously are concerned a little bit about the Super Bowl, but we really are very optimistic right now. And you look at the number of people being vaccinated every day is going, you know, it will be skyrocketing here, and the number of cases going down is the trend we absolutely want to see. The trends in the hospital certainly are going in the direction we want. People are saying, well, we're still seeing quite a few deaths. We'll see those deaths drop off and slow down here, but we certainly are seeing less hospitalizations, less ICUs, less ICU patients. Very promising. But again, if we do get this UK variant, which is more contagious, we have a couple things going for us. One, we're done with holidays. In other words, we're Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, and the Super Bowl are all over. And we're still having more cold weather, so people are staying inside, even though dining is open again.
Tell me if I have this right. So most COVID-19 deaths in the country are in the 50-plus age group, but most of the spread is in the 20 to 49 age group. So we're not going to see a dramatic fall in the number of cases until we vaccinate younger groups, right?
But, you know, potentially, yeah. You know, you won't get to the concept of herd immunity until you really start to get to that younger group. But we have to remember that the vaccine right now isn't even known if it's going to slow the transmission. But, I mean, we certainly are going to stop the number of symptomatic cases. And that's why people are saying, why didn't we do like Britain? Why didn't we do a broader-based, you know, let's immunize these younger people to slow the spread, when, in fact, what we're trying to do is save lives? So, you know, we're trying to protect those individuals who are above 80, are above 70, above 65. So certainly we're looking at that. And then if you look at the strategy, where are we going next? We're going to essential workers, transportation, teachers, restaurants, grocery stores, those individuals who interact. So our thought process is right. It's just a matter of how well our timing is going to work out.
I know you'll love this email we got from Wayne. Our regular foursome is looking forward to playing golf as soon as the weather gets warmer. We missed all of last year because of the virus, and we won't be eligible for a vaccine anytime soon. Since Dr. Most played last year, what safety advice can he give, especially on the tee, the green, and in the golf carts? Thanks
all right,
much.
Wayne.
Yeah, Wayne says he's golf ready.
There we go. Wayne, first thing I'd say is get on a plane and go south. You can play now.
Yeah.
Don't wait. But no, really, when you look at golf and you look at the game and the sport itself, it's probably one of the safest places you can be in a COVID outbreak, right? You're outside, you're moving and you're outside, and you can definitely space yourself out very easily on a golf course, whether it's four of you, just walkers, or whether it's four of you with four caddies, so eight people. So certainly we look at the spacing on the greens and tees, and everybody, the biggest thing I tell all of our groups that I played with, and I play a little bit of golf, is on that first tee, kind of set the expectations. Hey guys, let's have a lot of fun today, but let's make sure we stay safe. Let's space ourselves on the tees, let's space ourselves on the green. But remember, you're outside and you're moving, so really, you couldn't be in a safer environment.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'll let the expert, that's you, Dr. Most, handle this. Evelyn writes, please ask Dr. Most, I was told that each injection needs to be in a different arm. Is that correct, or could both be in the same arm? I was told by the nurse who gave the injections. Thank you.
No, no, no. They could absolutely be in the same arm. It really, it doesn't matter. It's getting into the muscle. It's being circulated quickly. That's why we go into the muscle and not like insulin shot sub-Q. So really, it can be in the arm. Some people can't take it in their arm because of surgeries, and we put it in their thigh. So certainly, we can put that anywhere. It's getting it into the body. Does not matter which arm, and does not have to switch arms.
And what are you hearing about the supplies there at Northwestern and at other hospitals? The president keeps saying help is on the way. When?
Yeah, so we heard promising news from Pfizer late last night, actually early today, you know, that they're going to be able to cut their production time, which will increase their supply about 30%. So we're certainly, when we're looking at the doses that are expected, and you have Johnson & Johnson potentially, which will be probably approved at the end of this month, ready to deliver 100 million doses. So all I can tell people is let's be patient. If we get 100 million from Johnson & Johnson and Moderna and Pfizer come up with a 200 million each that they're supposed to have by the end of June, or the 120 million they should have by the end of March, we certainly, by the middle of June, should have enough vaccine for everybody in the country over the age of 18.
I heard something interesting the other day, and of course, all of this is relatively new and we're learning every day, I know, but it's possible that down the road, it might be okay to have a dose of one company's vaccine, and then maybe the second dose would be another company's, but not yet. But have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, so people have looked at that, and it's one of those where we don't want to study it because we already know what the impact is of having the same dose for both people. But certainly it's going to trigger an immune response. We just don't know whether it would be at the 92-95% that we're seeing right now. Push comes to shove and you can't get that second dose at the 21-day or 28-day, we know that you can stretch that out a little bit, and if as long as you get it there within the next 4 weeks, we're going to be okay. AstraZeneca in the UK is looking at it saying, hey, we're going to vaccinate as many people as possible, and then we'll push that second dose up to 12 weeks. But they're still going to try to stay with the same manufacturer because the vaccine is built for a specific portion of the virus, and you want to make sure that you're getting the same response.
Thanks, as always, Dr. Kevin Most. Talk to you again next Monday morning. Have a good one.
You got it, Bob. Take care.